This is Lynn Singer, coming to you live from Lotus Studios in New York City with another weekly podcast based on my book, Breaking into Brilliance. Tonight, I am speaking with Anne Flournoy, an award-winning filmmaker. Her first feature film was in the dramatic competition at the Sundance Festival. Anne is creator of the award-winning web series, The Louise Log. I particularly wanted Anne here tonight because I want to investigate the frozen conversations in our lives. Anne, I always felt when watching Louise that she was definitely living inside difficult dialogues. So welcome, Anne. Tell us how Louise came to be.
Thanks, Lynn. I was trying to write something that, with the intention of it being a feature film, and, you know, the old thing that you always hear, write what you know. And so I just went back to myself. And with all of, like, the aspirations that a person has, there's always that inner voice that's taking you down. And so that became another character in, not in the feature film, but in the web series.
Uh-huh. So the underbelly voice, like, what do you think you're doing? Where are you going? You can't do this. That voice that we're always dealing with and countering until we get it out of us. Does Louise ever move out of that, questioning herself?
Not so far.
Not so far.
Three seasons so far. But, like, with the Louise Log, in the first episode that we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like 80 seconds, very, very short, of a woman sitting in a cafe, looking at like dried leaves on the sidewalk, looking at other women more fashionably dressed walking by. And there was this gorgeous, who's the musician? Enrico Caruso singing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So moving, so sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at 80 seconds, it felt long.
Wow.
And I realized we needed the third thing. Like, if you have in a script, like a man and woman on a bench, and it's not working, bring in like a barking dog or a biting dog or a thunderclap or something.
Mm-hmm. Another element.
Another element. What could be the third thing? And there was this Godard film, Two or Three Things I Know About Her.
Right, I remember.
Which I loved for years.
Yes.
And it had that whispered voiceover.
Right.
Very philosophical, very,
right,
like, not exactly related to the images. And I thought it was a very underused
technique.
And so I'd been suggesting it to friends for years. Like, you should really use this. How about a whispered voiceover? So I thought, okay,
about time I use it.
Well, finally, I was like pushed to the wall. I didn't know what to do with this, and I was determined to upload it. I was trying to do it by the end of the month, and it had been a number of months that I'd blown off this deadline. It was now the end of the year. It was December the 31st. I had to finish that. So I thought, okay, I'm going to whisper what she's thinking.
Wow.
So then that started, and I didn't think this would be a series. It was just going to be like one 80-second video. And so coming up with, like, what would I be thinking if I'm, like, envying these other people who seem to have it together, and they seem more free, and, you know, whatever it was. And
mm-hmm.
that was the beginning.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting, and very, I think it'd be very helpful for people hearing that who are working on looking for their own way to move into their material, you know? But I also want to go further with talking about frozen conversations. So what goes on with Louise? What's the underbelly here that she has such a hard time expressing herself, saying what she really wants? Do you ever let her? Does she ever kind of move through a little bit and, you know, really confront anybody on any level? Because she seems, that passive aggressiveness, right?
Right.
Is so strong in her.
I think occasionally she loses control and she bursts out with something. But it's what it's based in is I was raised in the 50s. It was very clear, like, children are to be seen and not heard. Like, I grew up curtsying, wearing white gloves.
You grew up curtsying. Oh, my goodness.
It was all very prescribed, wow. How you act. You
right.
make eye contact, you shake hands, and you give a curtsy. And my mother even taught us something, like to put the tongue on the roof of your mouth. And that will, no matter, too bad you can't see through the podcast, but that will impart a pleasant expression to your face no matter what you're thinking. It doesn't work. I've tried it in the mirror.
I mean, doesn't. I'm trying it now. It just doesn't work.
My mother would like model it for us. She'd go, you know, her eyebrows would lift, her whole demeanor would lift, but it doesn't necessarily work. But it stuck with me. Like, all that matters is that you present this mask of together, gracious, caring. And meanwhile, you can't stop the voice.
And you're deadening your spirit. You're freezing yourself by showing the mask.
Well, I never thought I was deadening. I thought I was getting away with it. I thought, you know, I'm still alive on the inside, but nobody knows. I didn't realize until, as an adult, actually doing this show, how it had affected me and that I was incapable in many situations of coming through and being real.
I think that's really important to say out loud, because many people, even with this society we're in, the therapized society, they don't always recognize when their body's going into shock in a tiny way, kind of little shock. Don't, you know, and they cut themselves off. So I think that Louise is helping people recognize an understanding. It's like a mirror of others, of us, right? And it's not just the women. I don't think it's just the women. What do you think about that?
Well, we have a lot of guy fans.
Well, are the men in the Louise Log also dealing with that same kind of way of being that they are? Do we ever hear them, or are
no,
we just hearing Louise?
We never hear it. I've worked with actors who've said, I want to do, you know, my character's inner voice.
Right.
I was like, No, sorry. That's another show altogether. But, Lynn, talking about this, like in the bigger cultural, especially culture, now that we're in a political, like presidential election season, I've been fascinated in my life, like, who are the people I like to listen to?
Right.
And I like to watch interviewed.
Right.
It's usually the artists and writers.
Right.
Because what they seem to be connected to and value is their true selves.
Their voice, their own
Their inner
truth.
Self.
Their
like,
truth.
I hate the word authentic. It's too overused, but it's a great word.
But it is it.
They are the real thing. They're fascinating. They're contradictory. You don't know what they're going to say. They surprise you. The politicians are so boring generally to listen to because it's all canned. And it doesn't even usually make emotional sense.
Right.
It's like,
right. And we know one big guy today that's talking a lot that makes no sense whatsoever. Right? Certainly, yeah.
So talk about frozen conversations, like political speak. Feels to me like it's meaningless. It's pablum. It's boring.
Definitely. So this just brings us to the understanding of the voice as a tool for the soul, for the heart, for who we really are, that we can really hear and feel someone through their voice. And so Louise's voice, being as trepidatious as it is, and it's very wispy, and it's very light, and it's very questioning all the time, it really is to me such a metaphor for the lack of trust, the lack of trust that's in the society. Like, this is what you would hear. I don't trust myself. I don't know. I always felt that. And the moment I heard it, I went, oh, Anna's onto something here.
Well, it's very empowering to me to do it, because getting into that Louise character, at first, I didn't want to say, like in the second episode where she's afraid of every guy that she runs into.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I don't want to show my cards.
Right. I don't want them to know this.
And then it got deeper and deeper with the different episodes. Like, can I really let this out? Like, I don't want to tell people my MO. But the outcome of that has been shockingly to me, like in that, I don't know what saying it is, the truth shall set you free.
Mm-hmm.
Like owning it
mm-hmm.
has enabled me to kind of overcome personally.
It releases it. It just moves out of your body. The more you keep that in, it festers.
Right. And even though it does sound really like pathological, it's certainly neurotic.
Neurotic.
I'm a less neurotic person from having done this show.
But I think that's really a part of what the artist is doing for themselves whenever they're working. I know I've had the same effect with my work, is that you are uncovering you and the pieces of you that people don't want to look at and showing those pieces to the world. And they move out of you, but they're a mirror for other people to work with themselves. That's how breaking into brilliance happened, you know. So I think it's fabulous. And I also know of another story that you have told me about writing a script and how difficult it was to get to that script. And I'd like to talk about that in another episode.
Do you want to hear about Marlene Dietrich? Is there time to bring that one in for this?
Talk about that.
Well, when I was a young artist, I guess I was in my early 20s, I'd never been that big on film. Like, I'd seen, Doris Day movies, and it didn't grab me. It didn't seem real. It didn't seem inspiring in any way. It seemed like deadening entertainment. And then I discovered Marlene Dietrich, and became completely obsessed with her and the films that she was in, because I thought, this maybe could be a way for me to figure out how to be a woman. Like my feature was called How to Be Louise. It's been like this sense, like, here I am, I'm like in my 20s at that time, like I'm an adult, but I don't feel like an adult. I don't feel like I know how to carry myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to walk into a cocktail party and not just be this like quivering mass of insecurities. And everybody says, oh, you're tall. You can, you know, you look like you're in command or something. I'd be like, ah. If I open my mouth, you'll see.
Just look them in the eye and shake their hand, is what your mother would
right.
say, right?
Well, so Marlene Dietrich in all of these films was this, she was
captivating and commanding.
Strong.
And wore pants, right? Wore a tuxedo.
But more than any of that, it was the inner life. Mm-hmm. You sensed she wasn't looking to anybody for the answers.
Mm-hmm.
She knew what she felt. She wanted what she wanted, and she was going for it. And she was just so incredible. And I thought, if I could just watch her films enough, copy down the dialogue, like memorize the situations, like I can act my way into, like, right, not thinking, but being.
Wow. Powerful. Okay. I could do this forever with you, Anne. Thank you, Anne. This has been wonderful.
Thank you for having me, Lynn. I loved doing this.
The Louise Log can be found at louiselog.com.
I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, as me and as the Louise Log.
This is Lynn Singer, and this has been another Breaking into Brilliance podcast. Thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed this discussion, and until we meet again, light, beauty, and peace be with you.